You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
It is your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap for this Thursday, the 11th of July, 2024. The Australian share market getting close to a record today, up 0.9% on the ASX 200. We'll have the details with Josh Gilbert from eToro. But first, to the UBS Global Wealth Report, which ranks Australia second behind Luxembourg when it comes to the median wealth of its citizens, that US $261,805 each. For more, Hannah Kwon spoke with UBS investment consultant Stephen Kobach.
What we're seeing is, you know, the cost of living is increasing, and that is relevant here in Australia as it is around the globe. And that's very real. But what we're also seeing is that the wealth generally of individuals is going up. So the asset side of the balance sheet is increasing a lot. It's just that our income is being chewed into more by the cost of living in today's terms.
What kind of impact is the transfer of wealth going to have on this? You're seeing $83 trillion US dollars passed on within the next two decades, most to spouses first. What do you see as some of the challenges?
Yes, and just to put that $83 trillion into perspective in terms of quantum of money, that's effectively the same as the whole economic activity of the world for a year. So that amount of wealth is going to be transferred over the next couple of decades. And you're indeed right that what we're finding is that the wealth is transferred intra-generational, so from spouse. Generally, that is going from the husband to the wife, who has a longer life expectancy. After that, then it becomes the intergenerational. So that's when it goes down to the children as inheritance. With wealth comes, you know, some responsibilities about how to allocate that. And from an economic point of view, that offers the ability to invest. Decisions need to be made about investing that, and it can be in for-profit ventures, it can be in impact ventures, or it can indeed be philanthropy or passing it on to others. So all those are key considerations and challenges to be met with for those who have wealth.
Were there any other interesting aspects of this report that you wanted to flag or mention?
I guess some of the interesting things would be the amount of millionaires in Australia. That's always an interesting point to take a hold on. We have 1.9 million millionaires in Australia, per adults in Australia. That is likely to increase over the next 5 years by 20%. So globally, the wealth is indeed expected to continue to grow across the whole spectrum, and the continuation of people moving up is also expected to continue. So people are more likely, historically, from what we've seen in the data, to move up the channels than they are down. So that's encouraging as well.
That is Hannah Kwon speaking with Stephen Cabot from UBS. Now to another report, this time from the Commonwealth Bank, and your home ownership may be dictating how much money you're spending. And data from CBA reveals the difference is now significant. Spending by renters was down 0.9% in the year to June, but for home owners with a mortgage, it's up 1.5% and more than 2% for those who own their home outright. It's part of the Commonwealth Bank's Housing in Spending Intentions report, and I spoke with the Commonwealth Bank's chief economist, Stephen Halmarik, about it. Stephen, first of all, consumers returned to spending on recreation in June. What's behind that?
Yes, that's right. So for the household spending insights for June, we saw a 0.6% increase on the month for the whole index. But for recreation, it was up 3.2% on the month and was really the key driver of the increase in spending. That came after a few weaker months, but the increase in June was online holiday bookings and actually a little bit of around sport as well. So it does seem that Australians are still keen to have that holiday. Perhaps the stronger Aussie dollar is encouraging some overseas holidays as well. But it is probably worth pointing out that recreation spending in the year to June is up only 0.2%, so quite flat for the year. But for the month, certainly was a bit of a pickup in recreation spending.
I think the most interesting takeout for me from the report is seeing spending by renters are down by 0.9%, yeah. But those with a mortgage or own their home outright is up. What does that say about the different ways cost of living pressures are being felt by different parts of the community?
Yes, I agree. I think that was really the most interesting part of this report. And this spending by home ownership status is something we've only added into the HSI in the last few months. So it does show renters, which would normally be perhaps a younger cohort people, people at the start of their career, you know, first home, moving out of home, but also, you know, broadening out, I think, in recent times, given the high price of housing. So renters, their spending in the year to June is down 0.9%, and that's in nominal dollars. So in real terms, are quite weak, certainly relative to those with a mortgage and those who own their own home outright. So I think that just kind of highlights that, if you like, the burden of this adjustment to slow demand to get inflation back under control is being felt quite unequally, quite unevenly across the economy. And those that are renting are certainly doing it the toughest.
I guess very soon we'll know just how the government's income tax relief and electricity rebates will feed into spending. What's your feeling on what it'll do?
Well, yes, in a month's time, we'll release the July household spending numbers. So that will give the first data on how spending has reacted to those income tax cuts. Might be a bit early on the electricity rebates. So it'll be important to see, you know, if people are spending the money or where are they spending the money. There's quite a lot of, there's been some surveys done that show that the majority of people have said they'll either save the extra money or use it to pay down debt. But certainly given the rising costs of some essentials, there's a good chance that some of that money goes to pay for those essentials as well. So we'll see that data in about a month's time.
And you're still thinking interest rates will be going down in terms of the next move. Why?
Well, so this slowdown in consumer spending that we're seeing, we think will lead to some further deceleration in inflation. But it's certainly worth saying that the next inflation print, which is out on the 31st of July, will be critical to the interest rate outlook. And if that's too high, if the headline inflation rate heads back towards 4%, the Reserve Bank may be forced to raise interest rates again in the near term. But that's not our base case. Our base case is that by year end, the Reserve Bank here can join the global trend to lower interest rates and begin to lower interest rates. But the next couple of weeks of data is going to be critical in that regard.
Stephen Howe-Marrick there from the Commonwealth Bank.
Now, Market Day on the SBS On The Money podcast.
Well, the Australian share market closed higher today to be just 21 points away from an intraday record. The S&P ASX 200 up 0.9%, 7,889. For more, I spoke with Josh Gilbert, a market analyst at eToro. Just the Australian share market at or near record levels. Can you tell us what's driving it and how much of it has to do with the US, those tech stocks and the potential for lower interest rates there?
Yeah, look, I think we've got a lot to thank the US for. Certainly, we're definitely getting a strong tailwind. There's no doubt about that from the US. As you say, US tech is, of course, one of the big drivers as well. That's really clear and obvious, I think, to see when we look at the sort of the local tech sector as well. That's by far the best performing sort of sector on the local market this year as well. But also locally as well, we've got financials. That's a big help to the market. It's the heaviest weighted sector. It's up more than sort of 15% this year. So that's doing really well. But look, I think if we look towards the US, that's where we're getting a lot of positivity. We've had obviously a far more hawkish RBA than we expected so far this year. And that's really come to light within the last sort of couple of months. And that has put the market on the back foot slightly. So yeah, a lot to thank the US for the recent market performance.
What do you make about the US? Because we are seeing a lot of it's being driven by just a couple of stocks, right? So because when you look at the Dow Jones Index, it hasn't rallied as much as the S&P 500, nor the NASDAQ, which is at a record high. And you've got the likes of those tech stocks doing particularly well, Nvidia last night, and now all of a sudden Tesla's doing well too.
Yeah, look, those tech stocks are driving it. It's that Magnificent Seven that we come back to, but they're driving it for a reason. They're the ones that are making the most money. They're the ones that are delivering right now. And that's why we're seeing shares rally. And Nvidia is that clear example. They're making so much money from AI. And that's why shares continue to rally. You know, Tesla is having a slightly better time of it than it did at the start of the year. 11 days of gains after better than expected sort of delivery numbers and just sort of a clearer plan. But also, you know, it's AI. And we talk about AI a lot, but they've sort of rolled out, you know, their clearer plans for AI. Then we can look to Apple. Apple, who also sort of struggled at the start of the year as well, since sort of rolling out their new AI plans for the new iPhone 16, shares are up sort of more than 20%, hit a new record high overnight as well. So again, this isn't sort of a fad. AI isn't something that's passing. It's a revolutionary technology that's making these companies a lot of money, and it's here to stay.
Would it be fair to say that one of the key economic drops will happen tonight, and that's the US inflation number? What's that likely to show, and what's the likely move for interest rates? Because obviously you want it to ease, but you don't want it to ease way too much, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Look, that number, I think, is likely to show, you know, inflation cooling once again. We've had two previous CPI readings that have come in under expectations. And I think more signs tonight that inflation is slowing will give the Fed, I think, the confidence to feel that they can cut rates. You know, Jerome Powell said earlier this week that more good data would strengthen the Fed's confidence that, you know, inflation was moving back to target. But he also said that it doesn't need to get to that 2% level for them to feel confident to sort of cut rates. I think July is still too early for the Fed to have that confidence to cut rates. But as long as we don't see any meaningful upside surprises in CPI and PCE, which is the Fed's preferred measure of inflation over the months ahead, I think the stage is firmly set for a September rate cut. But also the markets are also looking for two cuts this year. So December is probably the likelihood for that sort of second cut. But look, really, services inflation is still a sticking point. And the worry is that, you know, healthcare and housing are still some of the biggest contributors. So we're looking there tonight to see any progress, because that would be a real step forward and a real positive for US markets.
What do you make of where the Australian share market is at the moment? At the time of recording, the ASX 200 is only just within a whisker of cracking a new record high. But it also comes ahead of profit reporting season, right? Is the market overvalued, or are you optimistic?
Look, I'd always like to think I'm more of an optimist. And I don't think valuations have really got to the levels locally for investors to be sort of fearful or concerned in my eyes. Look, going back to the US again, but we've seen question marks over valuations in the US all year, you know, especially around those tech stocks. And we've continued to see shares sort of move higher. I think investors can often get caught up on valuations. Look, they absolutely do matter. But, you know, if you look at Nvidia, that was overvalued 2 years ago, you know, and shares have continued to sort of move higher. Locally, we obviously have lagged behind global equities, given that we don't have that same exposure to sort of tech stocks. But as I say, I'm optimistic for the local market heading into reporting season. You know, tech stocks, I think, will, of course, lead the way. I think retailers could be a surprise again. You know, energy should see some improvements. So I think broadly, you know, I'd like to see some positivity. And also, let's not forget, right, even when we do sort of have record highs, it isn't a reason not to invest. You know, all-time highs beget all-time highs. We've had, I think, 37 record highs from the S&P 500 this year. So again, it's not to be fearful when we get to record highs.
So how do you explain to the average person, at a time when we're seeing cost of living pressures, right, rising, high interest rates, the economy slowing, yet the market at record highs, how do you explain to them what's driving it at the moment?
Essentially, it's company profits. You know, that is the biggest mover here. We are seeing the consumer hold up better than expected. Yes, we are sort of seeing, you know, the cost of living crisis, but we are still seeing, you know, consumers spend. They're still going out and spending. We're seeing, you know, companies actually continue to invest in the right areas as well. You know, these companies cut costs really early, and they're sort of benefiting that from, you know, improved margins, you know, better profitability over time as well. Those are the companies that are really going to benefit, you know, this reporting season. The ones that cut costs early, I'm really going to see an improvement in margins. You know, that's going to be the real one is from reporting season this time around.
A number of companies have hit record highs on the share market today. One of those is the Commonwealth Bank yet again. Over the past few weeks on the podcast, we've consistently been asking whether or not CBA is overvalued because, you know, where we are in the economic cycle. What's your take on the sector?
Yeah, look, financials, great start to the year. And I think a lot of that positivity has been driven by the housing market, record house prices. And I think also, although there's been a conversation around another rate hike, I don't think we'll get it. And I think we will begin to inch closer to a potential rate cut as well. And I think that's positive for the sector. The view of sort of net interest margin stabilizing and the unlikelihood of bad debts coming to fruition, I think, is driving shares higher. But you're absolutely right. That valuation is definitely coming into question. I think they need a really good reporting season to justify valuations. But I also wouldn't be surprised to see a little bit of profit taking here, especially with shares sort of sitting around those record levels. And just before we obviously come into a Q2 earnings season in the US, where we're expected to see earnings decline from those big banks.
And finally, right now, where do you see the opportunities for investors?
I think given that everything that we've discussed, particularly in the US, you know, if we're getting closer to those rate cuts, we'd expect cyclicals, think consumer discretionary, apparel, restaurants, industrials, energy, materials, those sort of sectors to be the most positively benefited by our sort of base case macro view, which is going to be a soft landing, interest rates, you know, coming a couple of times in the second half of this year, continued into the start of next year. That sort of sector, those sectors show valuations are cheap, earnings are depressed, and they're set to pick up significantly. And analysts are already raising earnings expectations around those sectors as well. So that's what we're sort of focusing on right now.
That is Josh Gilbert there from eToro.
This SBS On The Money stream is provided for informational purposes only. The content in this stream should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and it does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.